So, welcome to Wednesday night service. I'm glad everybody made it out. Just going to open up in prayer real fast. God, I thank you tonight for everything that's happening, God. I pray that you would just open our hearts, God, open our minds, God. I pray that you would let me share this word that you put in my heart with clarity, God. I pray that, God, you would just help us open our hearts to your word, God. I pray that you would just slow us all down a little bit tonight, God. God, I love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Sorry, I kind of been under the weather the last couple of days and still trying to get over this stuff in my chest. I'm going to open up with a little quiz. Who was here 2 weeks ago when I shared on Colossians? What did we talk about? I know. I'm not going to do that to you guys. I would be all stumped too. But we talked about Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. I'm going to read them real quick. As I recap 2 weeks ago, this is kind of the continuation of that message. So Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10 says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." Amen. We're going to hear that verse a lot tonight because I'm going to kind of park there on verses 9 through 14. So I just kind of want to recap 2 weeks ago's message. You know, in that message, we talked about how when we start to think about how do we find God's will for our lives, you know, and I reference that as sometimes it might feel like we're going through a maze in life, like we're hitting a bunch of dead ends, like, you know, we just have a lot of twists and turns, but no real direction in finding his will. You know, having to start over. I really want to refresh everything in your guys' memory from a couple weeks ago. We talked about how searching for God's will might be like somebody with a metal detector, you know, combing over a beach and just kind of randomly wandering around hoping to find something, right? You know, we talked about quite a few different verses that pointed out God's will for our lives. One of them was 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, where it said God, his will was for all people to be saved, right? The second one was it's God's will that we should be sanctified. Remember that? That we should be set apart. You know, that sanctified means set apart, to be made holy. The third one we talked about was in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. It says that God's will is for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The fourth one we talked about was in 1 Peter, and it said, "It is God's will that you silence the ignorant of foolish people by doing good." You know, and we talked about how this was a mindset, how we should do good, but also how we should stand firm in that, you know? Anybody remember any of it? Amen. The fifth point was in 1 Peter, and it says, "So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good." You know, we talked about how we might have to suffer a little bit in this walk. You know, at the end of it, we kind of started wrapping it up and was like, well, what is God's will for my life? You know, and that's something that each and every one of us really have to tap in and seek God for that specific thing in your life. But there's certain questions and aspects of that are answered in those scriptures. You know, he's told us he wants us all to be saved. He wants every one of us to be sanctified, to be set apart. He wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He wants us to stand firm, and he wants us to do all of this, even if we have to suffer a little bit in the middle of doing it, you know? So that was kind of the recap of 2 weeks ago, and I want to go in So we kind of got our eyes a little bit on what it was that is God's will for our lives. But now I want to talk a little bit this week about how are we supposed to follow God's will? How are we supposed to be in his will? What is our skin in the game, if you will, on being in God's will and walking in his will? And we're going to read this scripture. We're going to beat it up. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. It says, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. There's so much in that one verse that we're just going to kind of start picking through piece by piece and see what that means tonight. Amen. And I'm going to try to stop saying amen. Amen. And I'm going to breathe. Amen. So in this section of scriptures and the group of scriptures right above it, Paul, as he opened up the letter to the Colossians, he had a couple of introduction verses, but then he kind of went into a prayer for these people. Paul had never been to this church. He's never met these people face to face, but he had heard about their faithfulness. He heard about all the stuff that was happening in there, and he opens his letter with a prayer to these people. So there's so much wisdom in it because Paul was offering something to people he had never met, and I was like, man, that's kind of like us. I felt like, you know what, I didn't meet Paul, but Paul is offering us something in this letter that can benefit each one of us. So Paul's prayer to the Colossians didn't just reveal the possibility of knowing God's will. It was a challenge for them to know God's will, to grab hold of it, and to begin to walk in God's will. Too many times, especially in today's world, we can have a desire to know and follow the Lord's plan, but sometimes it's not for the right reasons. We sometimes can get sidetracked. You know, if we're not careful in making these moves, our motivations can become self-centered. We could start really looking in instead of looking up. And I only say that because I've been there. You know, it's kind of like, well, I got to get myself together. I've got to do this. But we're gonna go somewhere tonight. You know, Paul was explaining to the Colossians that his desire for them to understand God's will wasn't for their own personal benefit. It had a benefit for them, but that wasn't the main benefit that this prayer was getting at. He had a greater purpose in mind. In the same way, we have to look at our own motives. There's something bigger than a selfish motive that we're after in this. So Paul's prayer in verse 10, there's two parallel phrases in that. And these two phrases show us what Paul's goal was in writing this. You know, the entire purpose of fulfilling God's will was to be worthy of the Lord and to be fully pleasing to him. It was being worthy of the Lord and fully pleasing to him. And I don't know about you, but that sounds like a pretty big challenge already off of the top. You know, so in other words, Paul wants them to know God's will is not just for their own personal pleasure. And no, I'm not going to go there. Sorry, I lost my spot. You know what? God saved us because he has a purpose for us. He has a purpose for each one of us. You know, God does everything for a reason. God, he doesn't make mistakes. You know, and I find comfort in that today. God doesn't make mistakes. I've spent my life feeling like I was a mistake, and how many know that God doesn't make mistakes? But I think we lose sight of what is actually important sometimes. You know, satisfying God has to become our passion. Living for God has to become our passion. There has to be something that stirs up inside of us that he becomes our main focus. You know, it should become our highest goal to satisfy Christ. You know, verse 10, it even says, we must live to please Christ. And I'm going to read these scriptures so much tonight. Hopefully we could all memorize them by the time we leave. Verse 9, it says, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. So our desire to please Christ, it can't just be a sentiment. We can't just have a feeling like, oh, you know, that sounds good. You know, I feel like I'm feeling it today. You know, it shouldn't just be something that we kind of keep in the back of our mind. At some point, that thought process has to translate into actions. It's got to come alive. It's got to become something that we walk in. It's got to be something that becomes us. We have to grab hold of it. You know, we must not only long to please Christ, we have to live to please Christ. We have to start walking. And I know you might be thinking right now, like, dang, this guy sounds pretty legalistic. Like, he's telling me a lot of rules. But no, there's principle in that. There's something important in that. And I'm not saying we should walk around like holy rollers and we should always be super spiritual. But I'm saying that Christ should be in the forefront of our mind all the time. You know, our walk, our mindset should be to please God, to be pleasing in his sight. Amen. Paul's emphasis on knowledge, wisdom, and understanding in verse 9 can't be separated from the action words that are taking place in verse 10. You know, verse 10 says, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. You know, in verse 9, Paul talks about knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, that all that stuff comes when we are living a life worthy of the Lord. There's action words that take place. You know, living out God's will for our lives is really about surrendering. It's about submitting. It's about giving up our desire to chase comfort. You know, that shouldn't be our main goal, is I'm going to serve God because I want the easy life. You know, I want to take the easy road all the time. I want to live the cush life. You know, it's about surrendering. It's about surrendering to God's will and what he wants to do in our lives. You know, our goal should be to completely sell out to God, man. It really should. We can't just go through life any old way we want to. You know, and I don't say this as judgmental. I sat in the church for more than a decade with a different mindset. I know what it's like to sit. I still sit on the back row, but I know what it's like to sit on the back row and do the church thing and come to church on Sunday and come to church on Wednesday, but then leave and go right back to the person I used to be. So don't get me wrong. I'm not being judgmental in anything I say. I want to encourage everybody, man. I want people to fall in love with Jesus, man. You know, we can't go through life any old way we want to. We can't throw out excuses like, well, God knows my heart. You know, yeah, he does know our heart. And there's a lot of scriptures that say what our heart's like. You know, what we truly want is always going to show in how we live. What's really in our heart is going to stand out in our actual behaviors. And there's no way to go around that. You know, we are going to act out what is inside of our heart. And I say that from experience. You know, and I want to ask you guys tonight, what's your ultimate purpose in following God? You know, I've asked myself this question all week. You know, is it to please him? Is my ultimate goal in life to please God? It should be. So Colossians chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. It says, so that we may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. There's so much in there, man. You know, Paul wasn't trying to explain some type of spiritual thought process to these people. He wasn't trying to be some type of guru. Paul was laying down some concrete instructions to this group of people that he had never met. And I want you guys to kind of grab that tonight. You know, this was the Apostle Paul laying down instructions on how we can walk in the will of God. You know, these verses are structured in a certain way that shows us a pattern. You know, it gives us a bird's eye view of a life that pleases the Lord. It shows us what it means to walk in God's will. You know, as Paul weaves together these four parallel words or phrases we're going to look at right now, there's a structure that Paul laid out in an orderly fashion that these people could grab hold of. You know, in verse 10, it talks about bearing fruit. Also in verse 10, it talks about growing. In verse 11, Paul said, be strengthened. In verse 12, it says, giving thanks. If you notice something about all these words, they were all verbs. They're all action words. They were, even in the Greek, I did look at the Greek for Frank, that they're verbs. They're not a noun. It's not describing something. It's an action word. It's something that Paul was kind of nudging them, like, hey, we're supposed to do this stuff. You got to bear fruit. You got to grow. You got to be strengthened. You got to have a heart that gives thanks. You know, Paul was providing practical steps to these people. He wasn't being mysterious and kind of cloaking what he was saying. He was laying it out very plain. You know, this is the process of walking in God's will. So we're going to kind of look at those four verbs that Paul was talking about and kind of flesh some of that out. You know, in verse 10, Paul was saying, we are called to bear fruit in every good work. The first part of the process Paul brought up was bearing fruit in every good work. It seemed like every time I'm up here, I've talked about bearing fruit, you know, but I think it's important because we see it all over the place. You know, and bearing fruit in every good work, it can mean a couple of different things. When you start pulling different scriptures out, like what is bearing fruit? You know, and I don't like necessarily the point of work because I don't want anyone to take me wrong, like if I'm talking about a works-based salvation or something that we have to work. None of us can work enough to earn God's grace in our life. So I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about something in our life that can further our lives. Amen. But it can mean a couple of different things. You know, bearing fruit, Jesus talks about bearing fruit as if it was reaching out and bringing people to him. So kind of doing evangelism work. That's a form of bearing fruit. You know, spreading the gospel throughout the world. That was a form of bearing fruit. You know, making disciples. That was looked at as bearing fruit. You know, that was, people had become fruit. The spreading the gospel was fruit. You know, we see also in a different reference that there's a type of work that happens in the life of a believer. If we go to Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 14, it says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Amen. So this is another letter of Paul. I love reading Paul's letters. There's so much inside those letters. But God has saved his people to be zealous to do good works. You know, we should be excited. There should be a stirring. You know, we need to get excited about doing good. And I'm not saying good, like, so we could merit. But that should be a fruit of our lives. You know, there should be some fruit producing. You know, There should be some joy. I don't know about you. I did a lot of messed up things prior to following God. And when I get to do something good, it like activates something in me. It brings a peace. And it's not like, oh, look at me, I did this good. It's like, I'm not that same person I used to be anymore. John chapter 15, 8. It says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So there's a little bit of guidance there. You know, I think I bring this next verse up every time I've been up here and talk. But, you know, also we have the fruit of the Spirit. You know, those it says in Galatians that, you know, the works of the fruit of the Spirit, you know, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are outward gifts. Those are outward things. Those aren't for a self-benefit, you know? Secondly, you know, in verse 10, Paul calls us to go deep, you know? It says, growing in the knowledge of God. You know, the process of walking in God, hold on, the process of walking in God's will also includes growing in the knowledge of God. So how do we grow in the knowledge of God? Anybody? Read his word. Practice. Pray. You know, and those are all good things. But I think sometimes we kind of overlook it because we hear it so much. It almost becomes like, almost like a catch saying, you know, like, oh, I'm going to pray this morning. But we got to spend time with him. You know, we got to spend time in prayer. I know there was one day I was like, I got to go pray. And I got on my knees. I couldn't even say nothing. I put music and I just sat there. And I just sat there and I'm like, in my head, I'm thinking, am I really praying? And I'm like, I'm spending time with him. You know, and I just was resting in his presence. You know, there has to be, it has to become real. Studying our Bible, it has to become real. How else are we going to know him? You know, unless we're really getting into his word and spending time. And I'm not saying we've got to go to theological seminaries and all this. To sit down with the word of the living God that we all have access, we're over-accessed with it. You know, we got it on our phone. We see it on billboards. We see it everywhere. But we got to get the word of God inside of us. You know, we got to get those nuggets of truth in our hearts. We have to be able to hold on to that, because when something happens, I don't know about you, but I'll read sometimes and I'll read and I feel like, man, did I even really grab anything off of that? But something happened. My wife, I say something and I'm like, there's a scripture in the Bible that talks just about what you're doing. But in my heart, it like comes back to life. You know, I'm like, oh man, there's something in the Bible I read. And it's exciting. It's exciting. We have to get the word of God inside of us. You know, we have to learn to be faithful in what he's entrusted us with. You know, sometimes I think when things become so easy, it's so accessible, it almost is like it loses a little bit of importance. And we got to guard our hearts against that. Dang, my heart rate's high. I gotta breathe. That was my... They say your heart rate's high. You know, but this can't just be a concept. It can't just be like a Christian lingo, you know, like a t-shirt. We got to pray and read our Bible. No, we really have to pray and read our Bibles. We have to make it not a common thing. We got to fall in love with it. And, you know, and I know we hear this kind of stuff all the time, and it probably sounds mundane, but are we really getting it? Are we grabbing a hold of it? And truly letting those things get into our lives. You know, doing these things is how we get close to God. There's no other way to get close to him. If we're not praying, if we're not reading, how can we get closer to God? You know, that's if we're not spending time in his presence and spending time in his word, how else can we get to know God? What else is going to change our life? What else is going to really affect us without those two key items? That's what's going to change our lives. Amen. Verse 11. Moving along. We finally got past 9 and 10. We're into 11 now. Paul says, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. You know, Paul points out the process, that this process involves being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. Not their glorious might, but his glorious might. You know, Paul wasn't simply trying to encourage these people to rely on God. He was saying it's impossible apart from God. Without the strength of God in your life, it's going to be impossible for this process to continue down the road. You know, there was nothing apart from the strength of God in these people's lives that was going to allow them any further access. Hopefully I'm making sense. You know, God's will for our lives can sometimes push us beyond what our own capabilities are. You know, sometimes I feel like I'm at my wit's ends and I'm like, okay, God, you know, I could take it. Let's go a little bit, you know. Sometimes it's going to require us to have a little bit of grit. You know, we're going to have some emotional stamina. We're going to have some physical stamina, because sometimes it gets tough. And we want to go back to what we used to do, because that was where we found comfort before. But that can't be a thing we run back to. You know, I can't run back to drinking when things get uncomfortable. I have to stand in the strength of God. I can't run back to drugs anymore, because I have to stand in the strength of God. That's where my strength comes from. Without him, I don't have nothing. I have nothing. You know, I remember who I used to be, and I still can remember specific times when I had nothing except a drug habit and an alcohol habit. That was the only things in life I had. And how could I not stand in his strength? Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, it says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. You know, that he may strengthen you with power through his Holy Spirit. It's not our strength. It's his strength. And unless you're getting close to God, how can you experience the strength of him? And I see myself, and that's where I was falling down, because I was trying to do it so much on my own. I was never tapping into the strength that God wanted to put in my life. And that's why I sat there and I struggled over and over, year after year, because I wasn't letting God give me what I needed. So verse 12 in Colossians, it says, excuse me, you know, we're also called to give strength, or called to give thanks. Let me get a little bit more caffeine. You know, it says in Colossians 1:12, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. You know, Paul wraps up this section of four points, words or phrases, with giving thanks. You know, this describes a joyful, grateful heart that believers should have. You know, he kind of pinpointed these things and he ended it with giving thanks, because through all of that stuff, that thankful heart was, I don't know about you, but kind of when I make a list, I sometimes put the important thing on top, but when I'm writing something in succession, the bigger point goes on the bottom. It's the last thing you want to emphasize, and that's what Paul was saying, was give thanks. Have a heart of thankfulness. You know, the privilege we have in participating in God's kingdom is only possible because he enabled us to share in the inheritance of his holy people. There's so much in that. Like, how could we not have thanks if we fully grasp the whole weight of that verse? Yeah, I'm going to read it again. It says, in giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified us. We didn't qualify ourselves. He qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. I could stop right there, and that should give us enough joy to overflow. But I think sometimes we don't grasps the weight of it. In other words, Paul is saying, you know what? He picked you. I didn't pick you. Paul never met these people. He's saying, God picked you. God picked you. God picked you to share in the inheritance. You know, and we have to take that to heart. God has chosen us. You know, we're not here by chance. God has something for each and every one of us. You know, he's chosen us as individuals. Where else are you going to go where you're going to get this kind of group of people in one room together just by random circumstances? Minus a restaurant. You know, it's not going to happen. God is doing something in our lives. Amen. You know, God chose us because he wants to accomplish his desires on earth through our lives. You know, there's something in that that is humbling and so life-giving. You know, it should spark a fire in each one of us. There should be something that stirs up in each one of us to understand that God wants to use us, you know. The fact that God has chosen to share in his inheritance should posture our hearts to give thanks in everything we do. Colossians 1, 13 and 14, we're moving along. Faster than I thought. It says in verse 13, it says, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So the last two verses here highlights God's role in saving and preparing his people, not just to the Colossians, but to us. You know, there's two different sides of the valley, if you will. You know, on one hand, we have been resurrected. We have been rescued from darkness and transferred into the kingdom, right? There's two contrasting points there. In verse 13, Paul is kind of using them as like a before and after language to explain the believer's position in Christ now. You guys follow me? You know, you have rescued and transferred. Rescued and transferred. So it's kind of a before and after. Paul has taken the before product of my wrecked life, and he rescued us. He rescued me and immediately transferred me into the kingdom. Amen? Or not physically into the kingdom, but under the umbrella of the kingdom of God. You know, the Greek term for rescued means simply to rescue or to deliver. But it also means to draw to oneself. It means to like take something. I'm going to rescue this. I'm going to draw it in. And that's kind of the action God took. You know, he rescued us. Not only did he pull us out of that, but he drew ourselves to him. You know, he's rescued us from our old lives. He's rescued us from the power that sin had over our lives. You know, he rescued us from eternal separation from God. He rescued us from fear and hopelessness. He rescued some of us from addiction. He rescued some of us from abuse. You know, and that list can go on and on and on from everything that we've been spared. You know, we've been rescued, though. We've been rescued. We've been pulled out of that and drawn into God. You know, he's actively drawing us in. You know, when you see your family members and you're trying to lead them to God, and you're like, you might not have put these words on them, on the situation, but you're asking God, rescue them and draw them close. Rescue them and bring them into you, God. That's the clear picture of the salvation that God performed. Maybe not a clear picture, but that is where we're going right now. You know, the term transferred literally means to move from one place to another. So he rescued us, and he pulled us out of that, and he stuck us over here in the spirit, right? So he pulled us out, and he transferred us into the kingdom of light. So these two words describe a simultaneous action that happened when God saved us, when God spared us. He rescued us, and he transferred us. That's beautiful. I don't know about you. That made me excited. Like, man, I'm not there no more. I'm here. I have a covering, you know? You know, what a great distance between those two places. The point of before being rescued and transferred into the kingdom. Like, it's immeasurable. It's such a vast difference. You know, every single person in the history of ever was in one of these. You know, were they in need of being rescued or were they transferred? You know, there's not one person alive that has not been either here and here or they've just got stuck here. You know, all of us today are being influenced based off of what kingdom we reside in right now. Are we in need of rescue? Are we under grace? And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying I'm far from perfect. I think we're all far from perfect, but we've been transferred. We've been transferred. And that's where we need to reside. We need to reside in the transferred. Amen. We've been redeemed. This has happened for a purpose. It wasn't just by an accident or by a mistake. It's for a purpose. And I want everybody to get that. I want everybody to feel the weight of purpose. Like, it's not just so we could come and feel good, you know, or we're doing, there's a purpose. There's a bigger purpose, you know. As God's people, we have a new position. We're transferred. We have a new position. We're not over here. We have the position, a new purpose, right? We should have a new perspective on what is in front of us. You know, do we just go week by week and stay in the middle? Or are we looking through eyes that have a new perspective? Is there a stirring? Is there something that's happening that has given us a new perspective from being on the transferred side? Do you feel transferred? I'm starting to feel like I've transferred. I don't know about you. I'm starting to feel like I transferred. I might kind of hit my head sometimes, but I feel like I'm transferred. You know, I'm over here on this side. I got a new outlook on life. I'm on this side. And I want everybody else to have that stirring in their heart and know that you've been transferred out of that. You know, that's something to be so thankful for. That, like, that attitude in my heart that I don't have to live here, that I can live here, has given me such a thankfulness. You know, I just want everybody's hearts to be open. I want everybody's eyes to be open. You know, we've been redeemed for this purpose, this particular purpose, to serve him, to let him, to be pleasing to him. Amen. God's will for our lives was never intended to be a mystery. You know, we're so lucky we have the Bible. We're so lucky we don't have to walk around blindfolded and trying to figure this life out. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. You know, God has saved us from aimlessly living in the darkness of sin. He's given us the ability to follow him. You know, he's laid everything out. You know, from the very beginning of Genesis, when man fell, God made a plan all the way through the Old Testament with Jesus, with allowing Jesus to go to the cross and take our sins, you know, through everything to allow us to come in. He's made a way and given us the ability to follow him. And because of this, we have to live like we have a purpose in life. We have to live with a sense of purpose. You know, also, we need to get some confidence. You know, we have to have a little bit of confidence. We got to know who we are in Christ. And not in a proud way, but we need to know who we are in Christ. You know, we need to be able to stand firm for Christ. You know, we also need to live with a little bit of hope. You know, it's not that bad. Trust me, man. I've been strung out under a bridge, under a highway, with no money to my name, trying to find stuff to steal. Today, I stand here, I live with hope because I know that no matter what is going on, tomorrow, I'm still going to have hope. The next day, I'm still going to have hope. You know, because if God can make a way for me in that, I 100% know that God can make a way for me on the transferred side. Amen? Amen. We have to live our lives committed. We have to commit to honoring God because we are his plan. Like all of us sitting right here, we're his plan. You know, Jesus came, he died, he rose again. That was God's plan. The plan has passed on to us. So the next steps that, and I can't say, you know, I know that there's stuff that God wants to do. I know there's people that God wants to touch. I know that there's people out there that are hurting that God is trying to get somebody to go talk to them and share the message with them. And we're part of that plan. Who else is going to go? If we don't go, who else is going to go? You know, we have to be aware of this. We are his plan. You know, we're like right in the middle of all of that. And I just want us to grab that tonight. Amen. And I'm going to close in prayer. God, I thank you tonight. God, I pray that the things that we heard tonight wouldn't just be from my mouth, God, but that we would receive these words from your scriptures, God. I pray that you would stir something in each of our hearts. God, let us find our confidence in you, God. Let us find our hope in you, God. I pray that, God, you would pour your strength upon us and allow us to walk in your strength, God, because apart from it, there's nothing we could do. I pray that, God, you would just stir a fire in each one of our hearts tonight and in the morning and the next day and the next day, God. I pray that you would just grab hold of us, God. Grab hold of us and never let go. Father, we love you and thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. I know we got about 15 minutes. There's probably some still coffee if somebody wants some.
We'll shuffle around and pray. You're my...
So on May the 17th, everybody mark your calendar. That's a Saturday, May 17th. We're going to do our men's breakfast that we do out at the ranch. And you guys will come out and bring your fishing gear. We'll serve breakfast and you get to fish all day. But this year we're doing something a little extra. The Coffee with Jesus was supposed to be on the same day at Andrea's house. And so we've asked to move that out there too so the ladies can come as well. So y'all come out to the house and do Coffee with Jesus. When y'all are through doing Coffee with Jesus, y'all can come down to the creek and hang out with us and fish and just have a big time. Bring your fishing pole. It's going to be good. We have, the ones that have been there and fished, they know there's some big fish in that creek. And it's nothing to go down there. Sadie went down just the day before the storm hit last week, and she was fishing down there. I think she caught four that were over 5 pounds and five or six that were 4.5, 5 pounds, you know. So, I mean, it's just got some good fishing. But we just want to have a great day of fellowship. So May 17th at 9 o'clock in the morning. She'll have to leave a little early because it is 76 miles to the ranch. But get up that Saturday. Bring your family. Come out and enjoy some time just, you know, having coffee with Jesus and fishing and fellowship with the men, all right? So be sure to invite your friends, your family. This would be a great time for them to get to know some of us at the church, and maybe they'll make a connection and say, hey, you know what? I like those people. They're as crazy as I am. So we'll be handing out some flyers on Sunday. It'll have the address and all of that, so you'll know how to get there. And we just want you to come out and have a great time, a fun day of fellowship, good food and fellowship. Can't go wrong. Yes. No, I don't. I that's not my department. I know about the men's. The men's, we're gonna be cooking some. I think I'm gonna do. I'm gonna see how much I got. I think I have enough deer breakfast sausage. We'll have some deer breakfast sausage and some scrambled eggs, and probably put some tortillas out there and make us some breakfast burritos. And then, of course, that way you can have a burrito in one hand and fish in the other. So, but we've got Pastor John Gardner from Wichita Falls is going to come and give a word for the men. And believe it or not, Shelly's going to give the word for the women. And I'm as surprised as you are, because Shelly has never, she wants to be back in the back and not seen by anybody or heard. And so for her to say, yeah, you know what, I'm going to bring the word on that. And I was like, who am I married to? What'd you do to my wife? Where'd my wife go? But no, I'm proud of her. She's going to give the word. And so, so we'll have some time in the word, time with food, time with each other. It's going to be a great day. Don't forget, May 17th, we'd love to have you out there. And it's going to be a great day, I can tell you. So the creek right now, though, is overflowing. Oh, we got so much rain out there, it is crazy. That my neighbor sent me a video, and she's like, have you seen the creek? I said, not since I left this morning. And it is, it's outside the banks 50 yards. I mean, it's both sides. It's running through there. So, but anyways, it's going to be good. The fish, that'll bring some fish that we had never caught before down. See, they'll come downstream. So hopefully it doesn't let all the big ones out, right? But anyways, hey, I love you guys. Be here Sunday morning and bring a friend. We are in a series called Love Like Jesus. And this week I'm talking about servants, how Jesus washed feet, and he was a servant. And how we're to be servants as well. So, anyways, God bless you. Have a great week. Say something, visit with somebody before you go over there. I know the teens have a special speaker. He may go a few minutes long. I hope not. But just please, if you have teens, let them stay and get all the word they can tonight. Amen. Love you, and God bless you. Thanks for being here tonight. Oh, and for those of you that are wanting an update on Cody Eccles, our worship pastor, the surgery went well. They were able to remove the whole tumor. It was benign. And the doctor said that he believes that now that the tumor's out of the way, that the pituitary gland will heal up and that Cushing's disease will go all the way away. And so praise God for that. He's doing well.